Good morning. Once again, happy Father's Day. And so I've just discovered, happy Juneteenth. It's amazing how awesome our fathers are. Yeah, our fathers are not perfect, but it was our fathers and their fathers who fought for our freedom. And I think it's incredible, the model of fatherhood that we get from our Heavenly Father. This morning, I want to take a look at our Heavenly Father. I want to focus on Him and give glory to Him. Because one day, whenever that is, Jess, when I'm a father, and it's probably me that's holding things up, but one day when I'm a father, I want my model to be based on my heavenly Father. Pastor Dennis has been preaching a sermon series. Does anyone remember what his sermon series is on? Seasons of life. This morning I want to ask you a question. Which season of life are you in? Because if I'm honest with you, for me, I feel like I am in winter right now. I am actually in a winter storm, if I'm honest. My sermon title for this morning is A Perfect Storm. And believe it or not, I didn't know the kids were going to come up here and sing about peace. It's funny how God works these things out. Question for you all. Who has been through a storm? A storm of life. Have we all been there? Maybe we're even in the middle of it now. I feel like I am. But what about a perfect storm? Do you feel like you've ever been through a perfect storm? That's a good question. You're like, what the heck is a perfect storm? Has anyone seen the movie A Perfect Storm? A few people? Okay. Well, the definition, if I'm correct, kind of, from the movie of A Perfect Storm is when all these storm systems get together and create a huge storm, resulting in like a huge, ultimately powerful storm. Is that kind of roughly what it is? Yeah, okay. So the media kind of says the perfect storm is this storm whereby this huge, powerful storm results in ultimate power. But this morning, I want to look at a slightly different definition of a perfect storm. It's Cal's definition. If you look in Cal's dictionary under perfect storm, you'll find something like this. My definition is when things go down, when the junk goes down, there is a perfect placement of support to get you through. You get that? When the junk goes down, there is a perfect placement of support to get you through. That, in my book, sounds like a perfect storm. Thanks for reading the scripture this morning for us, Alex. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through the first part of verse 3. To me, paints a picture of a perfect storm, does it not? Listen to these words, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through the first part of verse 3. But now this is what the Lord, our Heavenly Father, says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I am with you. I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. See, the Father promises, our Heavenly Father promises that He will be there. He will be our rock. He will be the one that will see us through the storms of life. But what does that look like? Let me share with you a couple of events of this week. I was sitting in my office on Thursday, and I received a phone call from a friend. His name is Jim. Jim calls me up and says, "Cal, I really need a help. I really need a hand. I've been in a car wreck, a semi. I'm trying to speak American here. I just call them trucks. But a semi came along and it hit my truck, as in like pickup truck." So he says, "A semi came and hit my truck, and I need some help." And I'm like thinking, "Oh my goodness, how horrible is this situation?" Because I mean, you know, you think of a semi truck hitting a pickup truck, and the picture you get is not pretty at all. And so I'm kind of worried about him. So I jump in my car straight away and I head up the road. And when I get there, I'm kind of blown away. Because the front of his pickup truck, he's got like a big F-250 type thing. So this thing, you know, it's like a tank. But there doesn't appear to be that much damage. And so I get there and I start to ask him how he's doing, you know, is he injured, all that kind of stuff. And the story he told me was something like this. "Well, I was heading down the road to go to Hanford to pick up some gear. And I realized I'd made a mistake and got turned onto Highway 43, wherever that is. And apparently they're doing some roadworks down there at the moment, so the traffic was really, really bad. And I was on the wrong freeway anyway. So he said, I made the decision to turn around." And I was like, "Okay, so what happened?" And he said, "I kind of very carefully sort of maneuvered my truck around so that I was facing, ready to do a U-turn. And I was sitting there and I'm looking down the road. I see nothing. Just to be on the safe side, I look again." Like he said, "I looked three times and I saw nothing. So I wanted to punch the gas and get around, you know, and turn around and head back the other way. But," he says, "for some reason, I didn't. For some reason, I didn't." And as he gently begins to ease on the gas pedal, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he sees three semis heading the other way at about 40 miles an hour, bearing down on him. So he jams on the brakes, and the semi sees him, and he swerves out of the way. Now, the first semi swerves enough so that somehow he misses the front of the truck, of Jim's truck. But the rear tire of the trailer clips the tow hook on the front of the F-250. And so the front end is kind of just mangled a little bit. It really doesn't look like a whole lot of damage. Somehow everybody stopped and everyone was okay. Isn't that a miracle? The crazy thing is, Jim said, I was kind of like shaken up, and you know, so he went to kind of like, his truck was still drivable somewhat. It had ripped a hole in the radiator, some stuff like that. So he needed to get some more coolant in order to get somewhere where the repair shop would be decent, which was Fresno. So he went to an auto parts place, still shaken up from the accident, as you would be. While he's at the auto parts place, he starts talking to the guy who is the behind the counter there at the auto parts place. It turns out that this guy is a pastor. And as they're talking, it turns out Jim, by the way, is one of my friends in the not the multimedia industry, but sort of like in the sound audio equipment industry. He does work there. And as he's talking to this guy, it turns out that this pastor has just been, they've just bought out a temple, and they're looking to do a refit of the temple. And so Jim's in there shaken up from this experience, talking about God and stuff like that. And the pastor's like, wow, you know what? This was a divine appointment. And Jim says, what? What are you talking about? And Jim says, well, the other guy, the pastor says, well, look, the thing is, we're looking for someone who's good quality to do our sound system in our new church. And Jim is kind of like, really? So he goes and he gives him his business card and all of that. And I'm kind of like thinking, what? What is going on here? Like, I mean, this incident that was kind of like it was really a near miss. And it's a huge inconvenience because Jim's truck's out of service for like a week. But it turned into a blessing. A perfect storm. A perfect storm. There was something else that happened to me this week. That happened to me and my wife, Stephanie and Carrie. It was an experience. We decided I like to take a day off, you know. As a pastor, I do need a Sabbath. And seeing as Sabbath isn't really a Sabbath, that's right, isn't it, Dennis? I need to take a day off sometime. So I like to take my Sabbath as Tuesdays. So if you ask me to meet on Tuesdays, I'll say no. Just a heads up. We decided this Sabbath to go and hang out and go like floating down the river. Stephanie and Kara have got one of those big islands which you sit on in the pool or in the lake or whatever and just float around on. And so we were like, yeah, let's go down the river on that. It's something that has been done before, and I'd like to do it again. Just not quite where we went. Where they usually went, we get there, and the river was closed. The river was closed because they were doing some construction on a bridge and stuff, and it was kind of like the sign said, from this point down, the river's closed. So we were like, okay, well, let's go further upstream. So we went further upstream, and there were no signs that said the river is closed. So we hopped on the boat and we went, or the boat, I'll call it a raft, but I mean the island. We hopped on the island with some oars and with our gear and stuff, and we start to make our way down the river. Now, as we go down the river, you know, you have some rapids, have a little bit of fun and all of that. But we got to one place where there was kind of like this wall thing. And it was kind of like the water looked really scary. So we pulled off to the side and we got out and checked it out. Sure enough, it was really scary. So we pulled the boat out. Pulled the island out and dropped it in the water just below the scary wall. That was all good. And we continued on down the river. Wasn't too long later that we got to this one particular place on the river. And as we looked, it looked like the river kind of went around to the left, and it looked like there was some kind of interesting stuff going on over there. Like, it kind of looked like it might be a little bit of a wall or something, but we couldn't really tell. So we pulled off over to the side where a canal actually came in, so it was really nice and still water. And so we got out, and we climbed the bank, which was kind of an adventure in itself, and we went along and we looked at this particular part of the river that was kind of like a bit of a wall. We were kind of like, huh, that doesn't look too bad. It doesn't look like the last one. It doesn't look anywhere near as powerful. It doesn't look like it's as, you know, there's as much water going over or anything. It looks okay, especially if we stick way over to the left-hand side. Of course, where were we? On the right-hand side. So it was going to be a lot of work to get there, but we were like, I think the left-hand side will be our best bet. Now, unlike the first one, there was no easy way to pick the raft up and walk around this. Otherwise, we probably would have gone and investigated a little further and maybe not quite done what we did. So we all look at this thing and we're like, I think we can do it. Think we can make it. So we get back on this island and we start paddling across the fast-flowing river. We made it most of the way over to the left-hand side, which was where we were shooting for. By this time, Kerry and I are exhausted. Me being as fit as I am, yes! No, I'm not fit at all. So we're exhausted from paddling over there. And the water takes us closer and closer to the edge. And as we get closer and closer to the edge, we realize that this is nothing at all like the first little wall, or the first wall that we'd seen. The first wall that we'd seen was kind of like a slanted wall, with and the water kind of flowed over it with like a bit of, you know, like a bit of speed. So it was like a gentle ramp. This was nothing like that at all. It was a 5 to 6 foot straight drop down. Of course, we were on a specially designed raft just for this, right? No, we're on a pool island. So we're all sitting there and we're like, oh my goodness, oh no, what are we going to do? There was nothing we could do. We went over the edge, and as we were headed over there, I'm like, oh, well, lean back, you know, because like you don't want to dig the front end and tumble out that way. So we all leaned back, and somehow, miracle of miracles, we made it down this drop. But we were all at the back end of the boat. And I don't know if any of you have been whitewater rafting, but once you go down a drop or a rapid like that, the water tends to cycle back. And if the weight's all down at the back, you don't have any momentum to carry you up over that little bit of water coming back. And so before we knew what had happened, we started drifting back into this thing where the waterfall, I'll call it. It's not a waterfall, but you know what I'm saying. We're drifting back into this waterfall, and we're just like, oh man, this is not good. The next thing I remember, I think I was the first to go. I got sucked under, and I know that Jess and Stephanie followed me very quickly afterwards. We're down under the water, tumbling around, not knowing what's happening. It wasn't fun. Reminded me somewhat of my surfing experience or bodyboarding experience. You know, you get dumped by a wave and you get churned around. And finally, I pop up to the surface. Somehow I think in my head, what? I've still got the oar that I was paddling with in my hand. I hadn't let go of the oar. So that was number one, because the oars were really important because, you know, if you're going to continue on down the river, you're going to need something to help get you going. Somehow I had hung on to the oar, managed to hang on to the oar in all the tumbling around. And so I pop up, I'm like, wow, there's the oar. Strange. I look right there, and right in front of me, within an arm's reach, is the boat. I look further around to the right, and the first thing I see is Stephanie's head standing up just over a little further. She too was like within an arm's reach of the boat. And then right in between us pops Jess. So the three of us are like standing in a line, with all within an arm's reach of each other and within an arm's reach of the boat. Was God there? Yes, he was. But then we're like, oh, where's Kerry? And all of a sudden I see out of nowhere, it's like this. It's like, here's Kerry. He just pops up. He had stayed on the boat. And somehow he had managed to stay on that thing. And he'd actually had the presence of mind to slip in. This had a hole in the middle. He happened to like slip into the middle of that hole, and he could stand where he was. And so he was holding the boat right there. So we get Stephanie on the boat first, because Kerry was on the boat. So who's he going to pick first? So we get Stephanie on the boat first, and then I think I was managing to hold the boat a little bit there too. Like, we're not that far from this wall, so I have no idea how on earth I was able to stand and hold this boat. or this island thing with the water rushing by so fast. Yet it happened. So Jess and I are floating down the river with the boat while Stephanie and Kerry are on the boat. Somehow in the middle of all of this, because you know, you can imagine that in the middle of all of this, you're kind of panicky. And somehow in the middle of all this, Jess looks and sees the little tub with our keys, ID, a phone, and the wallet just floating. And it's not like floating over there. It's like floating right in front of her. She picks it up, throws it in the boat. So we have both our oars, our keys, wallets, IDs, etc., etc., the important things, and everybody right there. We drift a little further down the river. We're still not too far from the wall. And somehow I am able to grab the boat and I'm able to get a really, really, really solid footing. And I'm able to just stand there and just hold the boat while we get Jess back on and while we just all calm down and really start to process what exactly happened. Was God there? Most definitely. I mean, so much stuff could have happened, but it didn't. And everything that happened, I believe, was perfect. Because let's think about this, right? If one of the girls was on the boat, it would have been much harder to pull us guys and, you know, the rest of us back on. But no, it was Kerry that stayed on the boat. We were all close enough together to be able to help each other when we popped up. The boat was just right there. We kept our oars, we kept our keys and our credit cards, our IDs. Everything was perfect. Looking back, I say without a shadow of a doubt, God was there. That tells me one thing. He is alive and He is active. The thing is, it's often very easy to spot God at work in our physical battles, in our physical experiences. In Jim's accident, he's like, wow, God was there. And this was a God-appointed thing because, wow, maybe I'll get some work out of this. For Stephanie, Carrie, Jess, and I, how did we survive? God was there. It's very easy to spot. But when you're in the middle of a mental or an emotional storm, how hard is God to spot? It's very difficult to spot God in the middle of those times. This sermon is more for me than it is for you. Because I feel like I am going through a mental and an emotional storm right now. I'm just being real with you. And sometimes it feels so hard to see where God is in it all. But we must have faith that He is there. This whole situation that we experienced and this whole situation where I feel like I'm going through right now in life reminds me of another story. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start there in verse 22. But let me just kick back to that story about Jess and Carrie and Stephanie and I rafting. Because the reality is we all ended up okay. We had some bumps, we had some bruises, we had some scratches, but we were all okay. And what was more amazing is that as we were going down the river, we continued to go down the river. We looked back and we were like, Oh man, where are our hats? We lost our hats. Oh man, we lost our sunglasses. We lost our towels. We lost our drink bottles. But everything that was important we still had. And I feel like Dennis said, when we go through winter, God asks us to prune, right? And when we go through a storm, sometimes we lose a bunch of stuff and we don't necessarily realize it until a bit later. But afterwards, we realize, you know what, that stuff really didn't matter. We are left with the important stuff. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they clamber into the boat and they set out across the river. The river? The lake. I'm stuck on the river. I'm sorry. I'm traumatized. No, I'm okay. They set out across the lake. And as they're going out across the lake, Jesus is tired. He's been ministering to people all the time, and he is exhausted. So he goes to the front of the boat, he lays down his head, falls fast asleep. As they continue on, all of a sudden, in verse 23, a squall came down on the lake. And the squall was so furious that the waves were coming up and smashing into the side of the boat, going over the edge and starting to fill the boat with water. These disciples, these seasoned boat traveling people, are so worried about this that they're like, we are drowning. Here they are in the middle of a storm in their life. And they start to panic. Verse 24 says, the disciples went and found Jesus and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to what? We are going to drown. We are going to die. But Jesus gets up. Jesus gets up and he says to the wind and the waves, be still. And immediately, the lake is calm. Then Jesus turns to his disciples and says something. I think sometimes we feel like this is kind of a scathing remark. Maybe it is. But Jesus says to them, where's your faith? Where is your faith? They turn to Jesus in a moment of panic and say, Jesus, Jesus, wake up, we're going to die. We can't handle this storm. And Jesus calmly gets up, says, peace be still, and turns to his disciples and says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? The disciples are absolutely taken aback by this whole turn of events. Did they say to Jesus, do they turn around and say, wow, our faith is terrible? We need more faith? No? What's the disciples' reaction in this story? They're amazed. They're like, who is this God? Who is this guy? He commanded the wind and the waves to stop. It makes me wonder. What do we do in life's storms? I feel like many times I get into a panic and I go to God and I say, God, I can't take this anymore. I'm drowning. And I have to ask the question of myself. Does God turn to me and says, Cal, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3 said what? Fear not, for I am with you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, what does he say? I will be there. And when you go through the rivers, you won't be swept away. They will not overcome you. I have a new understanding of that verse after this week. But he says, and when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am with you. I am your Lord, your God, and your what? Your Savior. I will save you. Don't worry. It's easy to say. Right? It's easy to say. Yeah, don't worry about it. God is with you. Don't be afraid. God's with you. Easy to say. Not easy to do. But here's the thing. I feel like whenever we are in the middle of a storm of life, God provides a perfect path through for us. I think he does. Like, we don't often see it until we get way out the other end, and maybe even years later that we see, you know what? God was there. I had no idea at the time, but he was there. He gave me the right people to say the right words at the right time. Just enough, that glimmer of hope to get me through. I believe it's true. But here is the clincher. You've got to have Jesus in the boat. You've got to have Jesus in the boat. And I think when it appears that God is sleeping in our storms of life, you know what I think he's doing? I think he's stretching our faith. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus is there and he's like sleeping. And the disciples are like, we're going to drown. Jesus gets up and says, where is your faith? When we don't hear from God, when he is sleeping through our storm, I think he's testing, he's stretching our faith. And we need that. Because when a bigger storm comes along, we then have more faith to get through. During your storm, where do you turn? Do you turn to your Heavenly Father, who is awesome, loving, powerful, and providing support to get you through? Or do you turn somewhere else? The truth is, God has brought you this far. And I am convinced that God allows perfect storms for us so that at the end of it, we can see him. We can see him. So this morning I want to encourage you. If you are in the middle of a storm, remember the times that you've seen God at work in your life. Maybe in the physical form, like he was with Stephanie, Carey, Jess and I the other day. Remember the times when you've seen him physically at work. And the reality is, God has not let you drown. God has not let you burn. God has not let the river overcome you. How do I know that? You're here, aren't you? You're here. God has cared for you so far. Remember the times that you can remember him doing that. And remember that he is also in the boat with you in the middle of this storm. A wise woman once said this, something like this. The only thing we need to worry about in regards to the future is if we forget what God has done for us in the past. The only thing we have to worry about for the future is if we forget about what God's done for us in the past. So this morning, I want to challenge us all, including me. Keep Jesus in that boat. have faith that He will make a perfect way for us to get through. Yes, we will come out with bumps, bruises, and scratches and scars. But we will get through. We will get through. Look for the glimmers of hope that God provides, our Heavenly Father. And don't ever, ever give up.